This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Following the arrest this weekend of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, the history, purpose, and accomplishments of war crimes trials is our main subject this hour. Can they help a nation come to terms with mass murder and torture, or are there circumstances under which the price of justice can sometimes be too high? By no coincidence, the fate of the deposed Iraqi dictator was among the issues at a news conference held by President Bush at the White House about 3 hours ago. There were questions about security, the transfer of power in Iraq, and eventual withdrawal of U.S. forces, relations with European allies, and about politics as well. The president was asked if it was politically important to make progress before November's elections, and he replied that people can read anything they want to into the timetable.
My job is to keep America secure. That's my job. I've got a solemn duty to do everything I can to protect the American people. I will never forget the lessons of September the 11th, 2001. Terrorists attacked us. They killed thousands of our fellow citizens. And it could happen again. And therefore, I will deal with threats. Threats that, are emerging and real.
NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne joins us now from the White House. And Don, always good to speak with you.
Hi, Neil. Thanks.
Don, a question first about the timing of this news conference. On the face of it, this was presented as a kind of year in review.
Right. And it is a White House, it is a president that we know who does not like to have these lengthy formal news conferences, preferring to take a shouted question here or there when he's posing with another foreign leader or someone in the Oval Office. But there is a sense for any administration that you do kind of need to have a full news conference at the end of the year before going off into the holidays or whatever. And this was billed as that. But if you're going to pick a day to have a news conference, the capture of Saddam Hussein is absolutely a subject that they like to talk about around here. So why not pick the day when you know that the vast majority of the questions are going to be about that? And that is indeed what played out here at this news conference today.
And indeed, that is what happened. Iraq and Saddam dominated the questions. Let's get right to it then. The president said that when he was asked about a trial for Saddam Hussein and where it might be, what the charges might be, and who might preside, he said the former president's fate was not up to him.
And the Iraqi citizens need to be very much involved in the development of a system that brings him to justice. And there needs to be a public trial, and all the atrocities need to come out. And justice needs to be delivered, and I'm confident it will be done in a fair way.
Don, Saddam Hussein is currently in American custody. We don't know exactly where, but clearly the U.S. could turn him over to face charges for crimes against Iranians, Kuwaitis, Israelis, Americans. Some are calling for an international court. Why did he focus on a trial by Iraqis?
Well, in part, it is to send that message that Iraq is going to emerge as a free, as an independent, as a democratic place. And part of that is to have a justice system in place. And I think there is just a sense on the part of the president, on the part of the administration, that the degree to which you can put this trial in the hands of Iraqis makes it less likely to be criticized by the rest of the world. It does look like Iraqis handing out justice to someone at whose hands, as the president put it today, they have suffered for three decades. He referred to the torture chambers and the rape rooms. So he is clearly putting a light on their ability to handle this sort of thing. But again, don't expect it to happen without considerable U.S. involvement and conversations and negotiations and the like.
And he did say that they wanted to make sure that it looked legitimate to the rest of the world.
Exactly. He said the world has to see that this was a fair trial.
The president was asked about the internationalization of the occupation of Iraq and relations with European critics of the war. And he was asked about this in a couple of different ways, including a question about whether he thought the war marks what could be a long-term divide between those who fought in Iraq and those who did not.
What you're talking about is France and Germany, the truth be known. I might clarify your question to me. Look, France and Germany... I have reached out to them. They've reached out to us. It's in our national interest. We work together, a whole and united and peaceful Europe is in this country's interest. And we look forward to working with them on a wide range of issues, whether it be intelligence sharing or in the reconstruction of Afghanistan. I want to remind you, Germany has committed troops to Afghanistan. It's in this country's interest that Afghanistan emerge as a peaceful country.
Don Gagne, the president, went on to point out that some 60 countries are helping in Iraq, as well as the cooperation with Germany in Afghanistan. But did he seize upon the occasion of the success of Saddam's capture to reach out to those critics, to France and Germany?
Not to that great of a degree. He did talk about how Jim Baker, the former Treasury Secretary, the longtime friend of the Bush family, is on his way, actually, as we speak, I believe, to Europe to speak with these other countries, specifically France and Germany and others, about the possibility of forgiving some of the $100 billion-plus debt that Iraq owes to the rest of the world. But he made it clear that on another contentious issue, that of limiting those who supported the war in Iraq, limiting the ability to bid on reconstruction contracts mm-hmm. to those who supported the war, that the American taxpayers recognize that that this is to a large degree U.S. money, and that those who have supported the effort are indeed the ones who rightfully should be eligible for this. So that's an area that perhaps makes Baker's work a bit more difficult, though it's also quite possible that it is a negotiating point that Baker can have in his back pocket as he heads over there.
At one point, asked about politics, the president was asked to respond to comments made recently by Democratic presidential hopeful Howard Dean, where he alluded to advanced knowledge that the president may or may not have had before 9/11. The president refused to rise to the bait. He said there will be a time for politics. But the subject of 9/11, he raised it himself several times. What was the message?
He raised it in the context of what is going on in Iraq. And even though the administration has publicly acknowledged, the president himself has publicly acknowledged, his press secretary has publicly acknowledged that they have no evidence linking Saddam Hussein and Iraq to the 9/11 terrorist attacks, he still talks about the effort in Iraq in the broader context of the war on terror, and makes very quick transitions from Iraq into 9/11. And his critics say it's because he recognizes that polls continue to show that the American people do make that link. And it is a link that is advantageous to the president and his policies. So we saw it again today at this press conference, him talking one moment about Iraq and what is going on there, and the next moment about 9/11 and that larger war on terror.
Given the timing of this press conference, as you pointed out earlier, the day after the announcement of the capture of Saddam Hussein, an awful lot of questions didn't get asked. Didn't see your hand get called upon. What was your question going to be, Don?
You always go into these with a list, but my question one did speak to that point that we were just discussing. And if I can read my scribbled notes here, it was essentially, even if this week's news regarding Saddam Hussein gives Americans a greater sense that the situation is improving in Iraq, and if it is as significant as the president says it is, isn't it also very significant that Osama bin Laden has not yet been caught, given the threat that we do know that al-Qaeda poses both pre-9/11 and post 9/11. So we'll figure out a way to work that question in somewhere.
We hope so, Donna. Thanks very much for being with us.
Okay, my pleasure.
NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne joined us from his office at the White House.